1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll let you know the message that I'm preaching tonight came out of a couple of things that Dr. Grady made mention of or went around, and I was reading verses there. And first, the title of the message is going to be Men. Okay? And I go, well, I can't do that. So it's becoming an adult spiritually. Okay? And we'll start it tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I said the message come from a statement by Brother Grady, and I made a note in my Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll get that in a minute. But what we see here is verse 11 plainly shows us, according to God, that children think and act differently than adults. Why do we have a society that thinks we should let the children lead? I don't know about you, but my heart couldn't take the roller coaster of a child's mind any longer. I don't know if you understand that. They think differently. You ever notice how what's important at one moment to a child and their life depends upon it? An hour later is not important. Do you ever notice with a teenager that they go, okay, they get in trouble, they do something wrong, and you know, parents deal with it, they come under conviction, and they go, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. And they lose some privileges. And a week later, they say, can I have all my privileges back? Because I've been good for a week. I haven't done it for a week. That's not picking on teenagers. All teenagers' minds worked at some level of that. I can remember when Judy and I, we lived in Fairhaven, we got married, there was different families on the block with kids, and some of the kids started fighting with the other kids, and then the parents got involved, and the parents didn't speak to each other for 6 months, and the kids were playing again 2 days later. You think differently, you know. You know, turn around, my child would never do that. You'd be surprised what your child does you know nothing about. AJ used to tell us, we couldn't tell you then, Dad, you wouldn't have let us. It's just the way it is. You ever notice how it's important one moment? It's easily forgotten the next day, the week. Because you know what? A week for a teenager is an eternity. Do you know how many kids of young people, teenagers, if your kid's not teenagers and they're on the internet, you're a fool. Do you hear me, parent? Children don't belong in there at all. Teenagers don't belong there without the parent sitting next to them. Because it they're going to come under attack. But if a little kid's on it, and it's not super, you got problems because of the exposures that can come out of that. You know, and because, you know, a week's an eternity for a young person. As a pastor, I've had to deal with people, Pastor Kinney's had to deal with young people who made foolish decisions because of a request of somebody else on the internet. And sometimes, you know what it leads to? Teenage suicide. They don't think the same as adults. God's saying, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away. Children think about their own needs and what they want. You know what adults think about? The ones they're trying to take care of. At least they should be. They're thinking about how do I please God and how do I please others. You know, through the years, I've watched, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, I've watched trauma and abuse and unresolved family issues cause adults many times to emotionally react like children and teenagers. Do you know that when you're born physically, there's just some things that don't happen quickly because your body develops over a period of time. That doesn't have to be that way spiritually. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, and so many times we get caught. The flesh reacts. The spirit acts or responds. You still with me? So, you know, it can be a struggle. So you're ready for an answer to that issue? Slow down. Slow down. Kids want to be teenagers. Teenagers want to be adults. Adults go, oh, I just wish I could go back and be a kid again. Slow down. Slow down. Don't react. Let God work. You with me? Charity, look at when I'm talking about becoming an adult spiritually. The greatest of these is charity. In the text, it says charity suffereth what? Long. That means they don't react. And is kind. Do you know how many, every time I leave the house, I'm going to minister, I'm going to counsel with somebody, I'm going to preach, I'm going to do something. You know what my wife says to me? You be nice and you be kind. You hear me?
Yes, Mommy.
Be nice. Be kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Well, I don't have what they have. Resentment comes in. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not always about me. Young people, it's not about you. It's about Christ in you. Is not, you know, it says, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Tell myself every day, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. Fruit of will is present with me, but how to perform it? I know not. Lord, please, help me to surrender me to you and my will to your will. Every day. Doth not behave itself unseemly. When you have to say, ooh, that was embarrassing. I wish I'd never said that. I wish I never went there. I wish I never did that. Behave yourself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. thinketh no evil. You know what that means? One, you don't listen to gossip, and two, you don't pass it on, and you don't understand the background of what's around some people, so you know what? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are adult, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves likewise also can be tempted. You see that? Doth not behave itself some seekly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, James Bryant Legault. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things. That's talking about over a period of time, isn't it? Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So I want you to understand, that's Christ in you developed. That's spiritual maturity. Philippians 1:6 says, for being confident, every one of you sitting in here that knows Jesus Christ, I just made Millie get a big look on her face and smile because I said, you're telling me, honey, you prayed to receive Jesus. Yes. And I says, not only does Pastor have you in his heart, you're his sister now. Scared her. Big brother, I don't know. Okay. Being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until what? You know what? You're a work in progress. You're going to grow in the Lord. You become an adult spiritually. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. And this is what triggered this for me. Brethren, be not children in what? The biggest thing with kids and teenagers is they don't understand the full picture or the ramifications of what happens when they choose or don't choose to do something. They don't see it. When you're growing up spiritually, you learn from what God says, and I'll show that the last verse we're going to look at in a minute, so that you can understand how that's applied to you and the choices you make. We can't get away from that. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, that forgiving part of kids. The only thing that forgives more than a little kid is a puppy dog. Cats don't ever forgive. But you can yell at a dog. You can kick the dog. Don't kick your dog. Be mean to your dog and then be nice to the dog, and the dog goes, he loves me. Judy can go outside. Nolly gets all upset, climbs in my chair, looks at me, and slobbers on my couch, my chair cover. And she looks at me, and I says, you miss her, don't you? And she's looking, yeah. You want me to pet you? Yeah. And so I pet her. Judy comes back in the door, and she's like, oh, you've been gone so long. I become chopped liver, and she's right over there. And it's, oh, because they don't have a concept of time. All right? You know what children don't have a concept of? Time. You know what teenagers have a confusion about? Time. You know what people who are adults wish they had more of? You with me? Brethren, be not children in understanding, how be in malice be ye children. That forgiveness that can come there when you show a little bit of that love. But in understanding, be men, be an adult. Turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 28, and we're done. Isaiah 28, we're done for tonight. How is Christ developed in you? Isaiah 28, verse 9. Who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk that are drawn from the breast, they're no longer babies or kids. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom said he, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The biggest complaint, you think you start to talk to kids, and they think they know what you want, they're going to rush to do something, and they've got a good idea, and they didn't let you finish what you were going to explain to them. Do you see it? Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, be broken and be snared and taken. When they don't hear, they mess up the precepts. Now you say, what is that? Because how many of you use the word precept this week? Okay. In the Old Testament, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it means a command to be followed by action. That's what a precept is when it was used in the Old Testament. New Testament, it is an authoritative, this is when I looked it up in my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, that you want to know how much Greek I know? Those pages. All right? An authoritative prescription. In other words, if you don't take this medicine, go ahead, you'll die. It's an authoritative prescription. It's a commandment. So then I look it up in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says, in a general sense, any command or order intended to as an authoritative rule of action, but applied particularly to commandments respecting moral conduct. Precept upon precept. When you understand that when the rule is given, that it applies to you, you start to become a spiritual adult. In America, the insurance rate for men under 25 is astronomically higher than it is for men 35, 45, 55, unless they're idiot drivers. Right? Because they don't understand. It used to be quite a bit higher than it was for girls. And then girls hit liberation and they drive as dumb as the boys. Fast. Without paying attention. Dead man's curve. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I used money, and I'm finishing. I used money when I graduated high school. It wasn't saved. I had a scholarship. They gave me money. I went out and bought a car with scholarship money. I was going to drive back and forth school with it. I had a brother-in-law who was good at body and fender. He put 4 fenders on that in 2 years. And I walked away from those. Okay? Beautiful. 67 Pontiac Le Mans Sport 326 on the floor. Cream white with black vinyl roof and black interior. I don't have that car. You know why? Because I lost my temper in a snowstorm when my wife came to pick me up with that car because I got stuck with my Jeep CJ5. Young person, married young. And I got in the car and I was so mad, I took my fist and I slammed it down on the dash of that Pontiac Le Mans Sport and shattered the dash. You know what I can say? I thank God that I am not who I used to be. You're never stuck at a particular age because you need to be confident that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.